You're listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. My name is Lynn, and I am the founder of Stop Feeding the Predators. And today I have a special guest, and the special guest is going to be mostly leading the show for today. And I will let you introduce yourself if you would like.
Okay, thank you. This is Lynn's mom interviewing Lynn. My daughter formed Stop Feeding the Predators to help victims of sexual abuse. These victims have been through unspeakable things in their lives with no one to talk to about their feelings or maybe guilt, blame, misunderstanding. Unspeakable is the key here. Most victims don't speak about or tell about what happened to them. These individuals are confused and need someone to talk to about their feelings when the abuse happened, and especially now, and how their lives have been affected by the abuse.
So, this is my mom, and I love that you wrote up the unspeakable part of the assault. You know, with Stop Feeding the Predators, a lot of times we talk about the guilt, we talk about the shame, we talk about the feeling like it's all our fault kind of thing. And we haven't really addressed that unspeakableness, that feeling that we can't tell, that feeling that we don't know to tell. And even though we're not comfortable, we don't like what's happened, it may not actually occur to us just how wrong it is.
Right. Last night when I was writing up that introduction, unspeakable hit me because I thought, in those days, and I'm from a different generation than Lynn is and the kids nowadays are, but in those days when things happened like this, no one talked about it. And you didn't know what to do if you did believe it. And half the time you didn't believe what they were telling you. And this is, you know, it really made a hard feelings in the family, because here's my daughter saying this happened, and I said, oh, can't be. And then I wouldn't tell anybody, or then she would act out, and I think, oh my gosh, she's just being a teenager. But no, it was actually acting out because she had no one to talk to or believe her. So that's kind of where that unspeakable came from last night, when I was sitting there thinking, well, that's what happened, because no one talked about it. You didn't see it on the news. There weren't any big events or fundraisers or therapy groups that would help people. There weren't in those days. Now there are now. But that's kind of what it's come down to. People have learned to talk about this, to get help from the people that have been abused, molested, raped. And it's opening up a whole new world of conversation, unfortunately, that needs to be done.
Right.
Yeah, and it continues.
Right. And I've seen a lot in the news lately about domestic violence, and I've seen a lot in the news lately about human trafficking.
Right. Right.
And those topics need to be addressed and spoken of as well. And I am so thrilled that you came up with the unspeakable phrase, because that's what happens to people that were sexually assaulted when they were kids. It becomes this unspeakable act.
Right.
Children are too young to tell. They don't know to tell.
And they get the guilt feeling. Not to interrupt you, but...
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They get the guilt feeling like, oh, I can't tell anybody. If they figure whatever happened is bad.
Right.
It's not normal. But a lot of times the young kids don't know that, like you're saying.
Right.
They don't realize it's something we shouldn't be doing, or you ought to tell somebody.
Right.
So.
Right. And I talk about the gut reaction a lot. Children instinctively have a gut reaction to what's happening. And, you know, there was the talk of good touch, bad touch when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, you know, good touch is okay, a bad touch is, you know, not okay.
Right.
Well, the problem is sex feels good. And sexual touching feels good.
Right.
And even though abuse, rape, sexual assault are not sex, they are touching sexual body parts, and it can feel good.
Right.
Even though your gut is reacting, saying that you don't want it, even though instinctively you know it's wrong, your body is experiencing that feels good. You know, the same as you and I sitting here talking politely, if I suddenly step on your foot,
right,
that's going to hurt even though you and I are talking politely. You know, the body reacts to what the stimuli is that's happening to it. So good touch, bad touch is confusing to children.
Well, and not to interrupt, but what bothers me to this day now that all this has come out and that we know that children are, well, it's okay if so-and-so, you know, hugs you. Well, the Santa Claus thing gets me.
Yeah.
Here's a total stranger. They've never seen anybody that looks like that. And then mom and dad will say, oh, yeah, go up there and sit on Santa's lap. Well, who is Santa?
Right.
No, I don't even want Santa hugging my kid.
Right.
Because you don't know. And background checks are, you know, they're looking into them now. But bus drivers, every day you hear something going on.
Right.
So it's right. That stranger touch thing is not working.
Right. Yeah. And background checks only prove people that have gotten caught.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And most people that sexually assault children do not get caught.
Right.
And I'm not going statistics because you can't give statistics on something that's not reported.
Right. Exactly.
But I will tell you, of all of the men, young men, I mean, one was a teenager and the others were over 18.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the men that sexually assaulted me, none of them would have a problem passing a background check.
True. That's true.
None of them were criminally charged.
Right.
Prosecuted. There was one guy who flashed me one time, and the police did pursue that, but I was never called into court. So I don't know whatever happened with that. I'm not sure anything ever happened with that.
Probably nothing, because you didn't show up and...
No, they didn't call me.
Oh, they didn't call you?
They never called me to court.
Wow.
No, they caught the guy. They came to my house. They showed me pictures.
Mm-hmm.
They said, which one is it?
Mm-hmm.
I picked him out of the lineup of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out later that he had been driving his wife's car around town, flashing himself to young girls. It was not his first time doing this. But I was never called. I was never questioned beyond that day. So I don't know what, if anything, ever happened.
I don't remember hearing it or you telling me about that. Has this been quite a while ago?
Yeah. I chased him on my bicycle.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that helps you remember it.
Yeah.
Guy flashed me and I chased him on my bicycle because actually he had flashed me probably 3 years earlier when I was out with a friend.
Mm.
And I was furious that he got me again.
Oh, my gosh.
So the second time he did it, I chased him on my bike. I got his tag number, you know, called the police and all that. So,
Did you tell me about that when it happened?
Yeah.
You did?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. The police came to the house with pictures and had me pick out which guy it was. And I picked out, they just showed me a bunch of Polaroid snapshots.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked out which guy it was, and they said, are you sure? And I said, yeah, I'm sure. And they said, oh, well, we caught this guy, and they showed me a different picture.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we caught this guy. So, you know, are you sure it's the other guy? And I said, I'm positive it's the other guy. Well, mm-hmm. I found out later what they were doing is trying to make sure that I wasn't just picking anybody out of it.
Oh, I see.
The person they caught was the person I identified.
Okay, okay.
But apparently that was sufficient. So if they pursued anything with court, they never called me in. So again, of all the guys that ever sexually assaulted me or even him flashing, those guys all would pass background checks today. Every one of them.
You're right. You're right.
Every one of them. And it's because they haven't been caught yet.
Right. Well, there's another thing with our justice system. If they catch him and they take him to court, will they get a slap on the hand? Do they get time?
Yeah, and that's the thing. When a child is sexually assaulted by a known friend or relative,
mm-hmm.
the punishment is fairly non-existent.
Right.
Compared to a total stranger touching your child.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, the thing is, if somebody has child pornography, if they have 3 pictures of naked children,
mm-hmm.
they actually get more prosecution, they get more harsher sentence than if they are accused of sexually touching a child once,
which
is insane.
Where is the thinking on this, and how can we get involved in the prosecution end of it, which we don't, but who can, you know?
The biggest thing is to make people aware that it's not your fault. It shouldn't have happened.
Right.
You've got, currently they have a statute of limitations of 20 years from the time it happened.
My goodness.
Here's the thing. Most people sexually assaulted, say, 3-4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
When they hit their 20s and they're doing their binge drinking or their food addiction to hide their pain or whatever it is they've fallen into to try to deal with it.
Right.
They all of a sudden realize, hey, I'm trying to cover up the pain from being sexually assaulted when I was a kid.
Right.
Well, when you're a child and you're sexually assaulted, that 20-year statute of limitations starts the day you turn 18.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
So if you were sexually assaulted prior to the age of 18,
mm-hmm.
from the day you turn 18, that clock starts.
Didn't know that.
And if you tell someone, if you tell a mandated reporter, if you tell Children's Services, if you tell someone,
mm-hmm.
then supposedly you have 20 years from the date of first disclosure. But the problem with that, and I believe any good attorney could argue it, if I told someone and they didn't do anything,
right.
that doesn't start my clock. Because somebody has to actually do something before my statute of limitations would run out, you know?
Legal-wise.
Right, legal-wise.
They have to charge him or whatever, right. whatever. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Wasn't aware of that.
Right.
Wasn't aware.
But it all goes to the unspeakable.
Yeah.
You know, when I was 3 and I was sexually assaulted, I did not know that that should not have happened.
Right.
I wasn't threatened. He didn't say, if you tell anybody, I'm going to kill you. He didn't say, I'm going to hurt your dog. He didn't say or do anything mm-hmm. other than what he did,
mm-hmm.
which was touching me inappropriately.
Right.
And that escalated, but he never said much of anything.
Just to
be stereotypically gross, men are pretty quiet during sex.
Well, he was kind of a young, dumb teenager.
Right.
With his hormones raging, and he took it right. out on a 3-year-old.
Right. And he didn't say or do anything that would even slightly make me think this was wrong.
Mm.
You know, if somebody says, don't tell.
Right.
You know,
something's wrong.
Something's right. wrong. You know, if you're planning a surprise party for somebody and you say, don't tell, you know, because they're going to be surprised.
Right.
I used to tell my kids when they were little, if somebody says, don't tell,
mm-hmm.
I want you to think about the reaction of the person that you would tell.
Right.
If that person is going to be happy, then that's a good secret to keep.
Right.
If that person is going to be mad, is going to be hurt, is going to be upset, if you don't know what their reaction is going to be,
mm-hmm.
then that's a secret to tell.
That's true.
Because surprise that's parties true. Are good. You know, you have a surprise party, you say, oh, don't tell, I bought this for so-and-so for Christmas.
Right.
Or
right.
don't tell, I'm making her a cake for dinner tonight and I'm going to surprise her. Those are good secrets. When she finds out, she's going to be happy.
Right.
If somebody finds out this secret, if they're going to be upset or you don't know how they're going to be,
mm-hmm.
then you should tell.
You know, it comes down to, too, you were 3 years old at the time, but it comes down to also educating these young kids in schools. And we briefly covered it a minute ago, and I don't want to talk a lot about it, but there's got to be some group, some, I don't know, the teachers should be maybe made more aware of how to relate to kids, that seem upset, the change, you know, during class time, they all of a sudden are sitting in the corner by themselves. So I think the teachers, because that's the start of childhood. And as kids grow, of course, they get older and louder and teenage years and, you know, who knows what, they tell everything. But I think the teachers should have some kind of program training to help them just keep an eye on the kids. Because I know, as well as anyone, if you're with some child or a group of kids every day, whether you babysit, you have your own kids, you see the neighbor's kids, you can tell if something's changed.
Right. You notice a difference in their actions
yes.
or their personality or
yeah.
their mood or whatever.
They're not happy or they're withdrawn or they don't want to play. They don't like their favorite bicycle. You know, something has changed.
Right.
So I think the teachers are a good beginning. Now, daycare, true. that's another place that they should make people aware.
Right.
Because that's up to, what, 4 or 5 years old?
Right. And the thing is, if a teacher has a class of 20, mm-hmm. which I know most classes are much bigger than that nowadays,
right.
but if a teacher has a class of 20,
mm-hmm.
and 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys are sexually assaulted before the age of 13,
mm-hmm.
everybody in that class, you know, take out, what, 20? You take out three
right.
kids.
Right.
From each group of 10 that you've got, everybody else is being sexually assaulted, or will be.
Yeah, or will be, right.
And there is a woman who's working, and I apologize so much, I cannot think of it right now, in Illinois. She is working to initiate a law, and she's already made it a law in Illinois, that schools are required to offer age-appropriate education. She said that she was forced to endure tornado drills and fire drills,
mm-hmm.
and she said, I am now, you know, mid-20s. I've never been in a fire. I've never been in a tornado. But every day I was being sexually assaulted by my dad.
Oh,
and the
my
school
gosh.
Never taught me, never empowered me
yeah.
how to protect myself,
yeah.
how to take care of myself.
Wow.
And so she's starting that. And Stop Feeding the Predators, we have a program called GRR,
mm-hmm.
which is Gut Instinct Response Reinforcement.
Okay.
If you've ever been out grocery shopping late at night, and you've walked past someone, whether they were homeless or business attire, and your gut just didn't feel right near them.
Right.
With no explanation, no reason.
Just an odd feeling.
That gut response.
Hmm.
That is what will save kids. It really will.
How does it work?
It's literally your instinct reaction to the intent of the person that you're near. Best way I can describe it is there are people that have loud, barky dogs,
mm-hmm.
and bunny rabbits will go into the yard, and bunny rabbits know that loud, barky dog is just a loud, barky dog. It's not going to hurt me. I don't care. I'm hopping into the yard. I'm going to eat, you know, whatever.
Right.
If the dog barks, it's going to bark, but it's not going to hurt me, and I go away.
Right.
A rabbit will instinctively know if the mood of the dog is changed and it's suddenly aggressive,
mm-hmm.
they'll be able to feel that intent. If a different dog that looks like that dog is in the yard,
right.
a rabbit can instinctively tell the difference. I've seen children run up to homeless people and want to talk to them. And I've seen children avoid nicely dressed, business attire, happy, smiling people.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the gut. Children instinctively know.
That's true. Dogs are the same way.
Dogs are the same way.
Yeah. You bring 15 people in, and they might bark at everybody and go up to one person.
Right.
And they know that's a real, true, kind person.
Right.
But
right.
true. With children, it's...
Children instinctively know.
Yeah.
They do. Hmm. Because I can tell you, when I was 3...
Mm-hmm.
He never told me what he was doing was wrong. He never said it was a secret.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like him.
Had a gut
feeling. I never liked him. Now, here's a weird thing. There was a man in my life later on, and he was in my life the whole time. And just out of courtesy, we're not going to say who or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a man in my life from the day I was born as I grew older.
Mm-hmm.
I never liked him. Now, I didn't hate him. I didn't have any reason to not like him. He was very helpful. He never did or said anything wrong to me, ever.
Just didn't feel comfortable around him.
It didn't matter what he said or did. I didn't like him.
Hmm.
And I have no reason, no justification for it.
Hmm.
If the house was on fire, I truly believe he would have saved my life.
Right.
I don't know that I'd run to him if the house was on fire. I just... As a kid, I didn't like him, and I have no reason. And bear with me a little bit. This will help people to understand a little more. As I got older, he was always there for me. If I screwed up something, he came through for me in the last minute, you know. And he didn't do it out of "you owe me." He didn't say, mm-hmm. you know, "this is just between us" or anything weird. He'd say, "I see you got yourself in a sticky situation, you know," and he'd give me $30, and he'd say, "you know, I'll help you out with this or that." And there was never an expectation. There was never an I owed him anything.
No payback.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. This wasn't something he was going to hold over my head. Mm-hmm. And we talk a lot of times about the grooming process where, you know, somebody will be extra nice to someone and let them take, you know, liberties, let them get away with something a little more than somebody else.
Yeah.
That's not what this was. Hmm. This was just him being a nice guy.
Yeah, just helping you out.
Right. And I didn't like him, and I have no reason for it.
That's strange.
And through my life, I mean, I don't think he and I spoke 40 words to each other ever.
Hmm.
And you know, the day that he hurt me, after that,
right,
I screamed a whole bunch of words at him.
Right.
And he was begging for forgiveness and saying, you know, don't tell, and that kind of thing. But prior to that, you know, 13 years of my life, I don't think I spoke 40 words to him.
Hmm.
And I'm pretty sure he never said much more to me than how you doing or is that right? You know, to
is
whatever
that right?
I said.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have conversations. There was no grooming process. There was no him trying to set me up to where I felt like I owed him. There wasn't that.
Hmm. Very strange.
So again, as far as the gut reaction,
yeah.
Being 47 today and looking back, I can see that the first 13 years, my gut was reacting to, even though his intention towards me wasn't anything harmful,
right?
There was something about him I didn't like. And I have a cousin who can't stand him. My grandma used to tell me all the time, oh, she doesn't like him. And I never understood. I never asked my grandma why, you know, my cousin didn't like this guy.
Yeah.
But, oh, she hates him. And
maybe something happened there that we're not aware of.
I don't know.
And that's been years ago, but still.
Yeah. You know, and I never talked to my grandma about not liking him or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
She could tell that if there was a get-together and he was around, I was with her.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
I would be somewhere else.
Right.
You know. She says, you don't care much for him, do you? And I'm like, he's all right. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't have a reason not to like him.
Right.
But again, that gut instinct.
Right.
There was just something there. I can't describe it. And even looking back, I can tell you there was no weirdness. There was no grooming. There was nothing he said that was off. He didn't make sex jokes. He didn't touch inappropriate. In fact, the only touching he ever did is he would pat me on the top of the head, and it hurt because he didn't realize how strong he was and how a little kid I was. But he never, you know, he never,
yeah.
People that see me in person, I do this creepy shoulder thing, you know, where you touch the shoulder and show the intent.
Right.
He never even touched my shoulder. He never touched me anywhere. Like I said, he'd pat me on the head, and that was about it, and no matter what I said, he'd say, oh, is that right? You know, and
yeah.
Sometimes other people would try to encourage me to interact with him, and they'd say, well, you know, go tell him what's going on with you. He hasn't seen you in a long time. And
right.
I'll say, you know, well, I'm in school, and we're learning arithmetic, and, you know, I hate it. And he'd say, oh, is that right? He had no idea what I said. He didn't listen. He didn't care. You know, and my gut reaction to him wasn't because he didn't care.
Yeah.
Because he was just indifferent to me, and that was fine.
Yeah.
But I wasn't warmed up to him. There was no, I hate to say this, there was no feeling of compassion for him.
Yeah.
We had a family get together one time, and somebody was making the food, and she dropped a potato. She was making baked potatoes, and she had dropped a potato after it was cooked on the floor.
Right.
And she said, oh, that's his. And I was so appalled that she would give that to him. And she told me later that she threw it away and gave him a different one. But I'm not so sure about that. But again, it was, you know, even with that, I didn't want anything bad to happen to him.
Right.
I just didn't feel comfortable around him. That children have that gut instinct.
Yeah.
I spoke with a lady who was sexually assaulted before she was able to speak. Okay, she was so young.
Really?
She was so young. She wasn't even able to talk, and she remembers that.
Oh, my heavens.
And she remembers that it wasn't right. It wasn't normal.
Yeah.
So if you can remember something because your gut reacted to it.
From that far back.
You couldn't necessarily, you know, she couldn't necessarily understand what was being said.
Right.
You know, with diaper changes and having to get cleaned up and being a female, there's always a lot of cleaning. So that would have all been normal type feelings.
Right.
But her gut knew something was different.
Isn't that
something? And it's that gut that sticks with us. And that's why we're not okay anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Until I can say what I've been through. And again, it goes to the unspeakable. Until I can say what I've been through.
Right.
And have my feelings validated.
Right.
You know, of course you didn't feel comfortable sitting on that man's lap. That's Santa Claus. You see him once a year. It's never the same person twice.
Right.
It's this mall instead of that mall. His suit is more burgundy instead of red.
Right.
I mean,
he's a total stranger.
There's so many things.
Yeah.
And children's guts. You know, I used to get so mad at my brother when he'd say, "I hate your guts."
Oh.
Because, you know, I was sexually assaulted. I hated my guts, too. Because my guts didn't feel good.
Yeah.
And that's oftentimes why people get into alcohol. I talked about alcohol and food.
Right.
Alcohol, drugs, food addiction.
Right.
When we don't feel okay in our own skin.
Right.
All by ourselves, we look for something to make us feel better, to feel normal.
True.
Or to feel anything. And sometimes we do it to numb. I don't want to feel that, and if I can't find something to feel better, I'm going to find something to feel nothing.
And I know I've heard, too, and it may have been just on TV interviews and things where this is all coming out now, but a lot of women will just eat and eat, and their whole objective is to become unattractive, so no one will even think about touching them.
Right.
Or abusing them or molesting them.
Right.
So, you know, like you say, the drugs, the drinking. But eating, I think, is the cheapest and safest because they stay home. They do it on their own.
Right. You can't get arrested for eating and driving.
Right. And they don't have anyone to talk to. Most of these people are pretty much secluded. They keep to themselves. So they sit at home and eat, and that's how they deal with it.
Right.
So.
Right. And again, we're not suggesting that anyone, that everyone who's overweight is was sexually assaulted.
No.
The same as we're not suggesting that everybody who's an alcoholic was sexually assaulted. All
right.
We're saying is those addictive types of behaviors are what people use to cope with pain that they feel in their gut. It's
right.
It's about the guts. It's not about the sexual assault in this case. And, you know, there are so many people that don't even realize the connection.
Right.
And I will confess, I recently gained a significant amount of weight to where none of my clothes fit, and I'm having to wear really baggy shirts to hide the fact that none of my clothes fit. And it was probably about 3 or 4 weeks of very fast weight gain before I realized that I was trying to gain weight subconsciously to prevent a certain person from coming back into my life. There was somebody who was interested in me, and I was not interested in him.
Okay.
And there were comments made, and I said, "Go away, don't ever come back. I never want to see or hear from you again."
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't necessarily respecting that. He would send text messages or Facebook messages or something,
right.
Phone calls. And it was about 3 weeks of, I think I gained like 10 pounds in 3 weeks, which, I'm a little person. That's
yes.
A lot of weight really fast.
Yes, right.
And I realized that I was subconsciously sabotaging myself that he wouldn't want to be with me even if he saw me again.
There you go.
And that's, subconsciously that makes sense, but realistically it doesn't make any difference. 80-year-old women are raped.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Because it's not about sexual attraction. It's about power and control.
That's true.
Women of significant size have been raped.
Right.
You know, it. So for anybody who was sexually assaulted and uses food to try to make themselves unattractive, it's not about beauty.
No.
So you're risking your health and your happiness for something that isn't going to prevent people from sexually assaulting you.
But there we go again, as far as the unspeakable, they have no one to talk to.
Right.
No one to unload on and say, "I was going to eat this, but I thought I'd call you instead."
Right.
There's got to be connections. And with stop feeding the predators there is.
Right.
I mean, you've got a phone number. They can give you contacts. One, as you know, because you formed the organization.
Right.
So, you know, there are outlets for everyone now.
Right. Fine. Yeah. And I'll give the phone number in just a second. So if anyone's listening, get ready to write down the phone number. And, of course, it's always on Facebook. It's on the links. But I'll give the phone number in just a second. But, yeah, sometimes, you know, I tell people, stop feeding the predators is like AA for an alcoholic. Stop feeding the predators is for people that were sexually assaulted.
Right.
You know, an alcoholic can walk into a room of other alcoholics who've achieved their sobriety, you know, maybe only by 24 hours, maybe by 3 years, whatever. And an alcoholic can walk into an AA meeting and say, I wrecked my car. I trashed my house. You know, I screwed up.
Right.
And everyone in that room understands what that means.
That, you know, true. I see where you're going. Right.
You know, if someone goes into an AA meeting and says, my life's a mess,
mm-hmm.
you don't even have to elaborate.
Right, because they all know.
They get it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same with Stop Feeding the Predators. You know, we have our support groups, and people come in, and they say, somebody hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
I totally get it, right then and there. I don't need graphic details.
Right.
It doesn't matter what age you were.
Right.
And I can tell you for sure it was not your fault. Because sexual assault is never the fault of the victim.
Right.
I don't care what you were wearing. I don't care what you had to drink. I don't care how much you flirted with him. When you said, no, I think we should call it a night, and he forced his way in and forced his way on you, that is not your fault. No means no.
And you know what I have found out through your organization is people will come in or talk to you on the phone or stop in, and it's from childhood.
Right.
It's from things that happened 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
It's not just, you know, right off the street, and this is what happened to me last week. You've got people that have been carrying this around, the guilt, the unspeakable,
right,
for 10, 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
So
to date,
mm-hmm.
the longest someone has carried the guilt and then shared it with me, and
mm-hmm.
I was the first person they ever told,
mm-hmm.
so far, 63 years is the longest someone has carried that guilt before they told me.
That's right. That's right.
And this was a gentleman who works in, you know, public setting. Now, he's not an aggressor,
mm-hmm.
so it's nobody's business. But he told me that when he was 6 years old, he was sexually assaulted.
Isn't that something?
And he was in his 70s.
Yeah. And probably thought it was his fault the whole time. Think feeling guilty,
yep.
and not telling anyone. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... We're checking time on the recording. Make sure we don't run our show over. We're doing good.
It's up
we're
to
doing
you.
Good.
Yeah, the clock. But I just want to say before we do run out of time, being Lynn's mom, I just want to tell the viewers out there and anyone that listens, please give her a call. She can talk to you over the phone. The internet is always there. But if you want to, you know, one-on-one, give her a call. She has her own office now. It's gorgeous. And she does schedule group meetings. When are those, hon?
Right now we have support groups every Thursday night. And again, this is based in Columbus, Ohio. And the support group meetings are in the Upper Arlington area, if you're familiar with that. The best thing to do is call, and I'll give you the number now. I said I would, which is 614-403-4545. And even if you're not in the Columbus, Ohio area, we can help you find resources that are close to you. A year or so back, we did the East Coast tour, and we started in Maine, New Hampshire, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Jersey. I know I'm not doing the states in any kind of appropriate order. I apologize for that. But we were everywhere. We did 8 states in 9 days, giving presentations and promotions. And in fact, that's how we met up with Allison, who is the producer for City of Angels Recovery Radio. and she liked our message and said, let's do a radio show. Let's keep putting this message out there. So the phone number again is 614-403-4545. And if you're able to make a phone call to get in touch with me, I'm able to find resources in your area. And if for some reason I can't find a resource in your area and I can get to you, I will come. You know, you can't be the only one hurting. And if you feel like you are, you need to reach out. And, you know, I'm not a counselor. I don't play one on TV. Mm-hmm. It's my joke. I'm not a doctor. I am somebody who was sexually assaulted throughout my childhood. And I understand, without details, I understand what you've been through. When you say, I was a kid and somebody hurt me, I already know the guilt, the shame, the anger, the fear, the unspeakableness. I already know the unspeakableness. And again, I can help find resources in your area. If you're looking for a counselor, I can help find a counselor in your area. If you are in the Columbus, Ohio area, like I said, support group meetings are Thursday nights from 7:30 to 8:30. You're welcome to call and get the address. With Ohio weather being what it is, every 20 minutes it changes. We might have a snowstorm or we might have bright sunshine. You're always welcome to call and make sure that the meeting's happening. But again, going back to the unspeakableness, you know, as a child that was being assaulted, I didn't say anything. And so, Mom, you didn't know what was happening to me, so you didn't know to talk to me about this stuff.
No, not at all.
And my brother knew something was going on, but he didn't know what was going on, and certainly didn't understand the extent of it, didn't know to tell either.
Right.
So he and I had kind of a wedge between us of our relationship because he knew I was doing something. He didn't think I was supposed to be doing it, but he didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
And so, you know, it's sexual assault of one child affects the entire family.
Right.
It affects the relationships within that family. And I'm not just talking about the child and the person that did the assaulting. Because, again, 90% of sexual assaults are by someone that the child already knows.
Right. Right.
So.
And just real quick, being a mom from the beginning, when my daughter came to tell me, you know, this has happened, and I said, yeah, okay. I mean, in those days, I was a young mom, single mom at the time, and it's just like, yeah, okay, that's something that, you know, you don't even talk about it, you don't hear about, no one was publicizing it. Again, I'm saying, like, they didn't have support groups like they do on TV now, but it's just like, well, yeah, probably won't happen again, don't worry about it. And that you just kind of erase it and think, oh, my kid didn't know what she's talking about.
Right.
But unfortunately, that's the attitude that I had. And since that time, it's just like I'm gung-ho for my daughter's efforts in helping people out and listening to them. And it's amazing. I just want to say a real kudos and how proud I am of her to get this organized and to get people talking and so the unspeakable doesn't go on.
Right.
And that's why I'm here, kind of not promoting her company, her business, but promoting her and what she's helping people do. And it's a nonprofit organization that she started, and she's doing it all on her own.
Well, I Stop Feeding the Predators is a nonprofit organization, and we do have a lot of volunteers that step up and help. You know, we have our board. So when my mom says she's doing it all on her own, please
that's
know that's mom's perspective.
That's how I feel.
I've got a producer that helps put on the show. I've got tech guys that you know fine tune the radio program. I've got, you know, there's a whole slew of people. It's kind of like saying Elvis was it. I've got an entourage that allows this to happen the way it does, and you know, Stop Feeding the Predators is not a religious organization. I always, growing up, I had so much guilt that I knew God hated me. And I had people in my life who, when they found out what happened, they would try to tell me about God and his love for me, and all I wanted to do was vomit and crawl into a hole because I knew how much God hated me, because you don't go through that much bad stuff in your life.
Right.
If God is a loving God.
Right.
And that was how I felt. So I make sure people know that Stop Feeding the Predators is not about God. Now, Lynn Wellman, Lynn McLean, whichever maiden name, married name, whichever you take, I see where he protected me. And that's pretty amazing to look at the horrific things that I've been through and even have the nerve to claim that God was there the whole time. Because I see the extent of how much worse things could have been.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's kind of like somebody getting hit by a car and losing both their legs. You know?
They're still alive.
They're still alive. And I know people who've lost both their legs and said, I want to be dead. I don't want to live like this. You know, and that's very similar to how I felt being abused. I didn't want to live like this. I have had parts of me stolen by people that asserted their power over me and took what they wanted. And I felt like I was less than, like parts of me were missing. And now I've had people come up to me and say, I'm sorry that you went through what you did, but I'm so glad it happened to you because you've helped me so much.
So in a long range, God apparently had a plan for you. Unfortunately, you had to survive it.
Yeah.
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 And again, I'm not preaching. You know, when you come to Stop Feeding the Predators, if you have a belief in God and you want to share that with me, I absolutely will listen. But I didn't start Stop Feeding the Predators to tell you how God can save you. I started Stop Feeding the Predators to tell you that you're not alone and it should not have happened. The sexual assault that you went through as a child should never have happened. And what I am doing to keep that from happening for the next generation is helping parents to become educated, what to look for. Mom, earlier you said teachers need to know what to
look
for.
Right, exactly.
And that's what I'm doing with this. Parents, I need to educate you about what to look for. I need to educate you about pedophiles. I need to educate you about the predators that are going to be your friends, that are going to hurt your children. I saw something recently, and it was a God-related post. It said, live a life so well that no one will believe the horrible things that someone says about you.
Oh.
Now, if you think about that...
Yeah.
The guys that sexually assaulted me did
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though I was raped by this one guy in my life, I still say he never would have done it. And he already did it. He already did it. It already happened. And knowing who he was,
right.
I would still say that could have never happened.
Isn't that something? Well,
so,
that's where you push it in the back of your mind and you live with that.
And that's why parents have to understand the more unbelievable what your child just told you,
right,
the more true it probably is.
Right.
You know, if I say I got hit by an elephant when I was outside, you better be going outside looking for an elephant.
Yeah.
You know, an elephant flag, a truck with a, you know, elephant on it.
Right.
Somebody wearing a gray sweatshirt.
Right.
You know, something that looked like an elephant to a child, you better be investigating it.
Right.
So when your child says, I don't like so-and-so.
Right. There's your gut feeling coming back.
Don't just say, well, then don't play with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Find out why. Why don't you like so-and-so? And keep in mind that that man in my life, I didn't like him.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't tell you why.
Hmm.
And I wasn't around him much.
Right.
I couldn't have told you that what he did was what he was going to do. I never had that feeling from him. There was just something in my gut, you know. We talked a little bit. Again, this is Lynn, founder of Stop Feeding the Predators, talking with my mom.
Oh, yeah. I'm still here.
Mom, you mentioned, you know, hindsight being 20/20. As my mom, what could have happened differently kind of things?
Well, the thing is, and I think I mentioned it earlier, I'm in an older generation, and at that time, you didn't report a lot of stuff to the cops or anyone important. But in hindsight, I wish now I'd have sat down with my daughter and say, now what really happened? Tell me. Because she was either, she would tell me real quick and say, so-and-so did this to me. And I'd say, oh yeah, okay. It'll be better. You know, you're okay. If I'd have just taken the time and say, okay, now let's sit down and you tell me exactly what happened. But I didn't at the time. I was busy with making a living, working, raising two kids. So the moms have to be very aware. Hindsight again, I would have done that, taken time, listened, and confronted the person, which I did. There were two or three that I did talk to and made it very apparent that I was aware of what was going on. That helped stop it. But at the same time, then I've got a child, a daughter, sitting here thinking, oh, it's part her fault. She shouldn't have been there. She should have said something. She should have, you know, whatever she didn't do, she's feeling like she should have. So, again, thinking back, looking back on it, hopefully this will help. But talk to your kids. Keep an eye on them. Notice changes. Sit down and talk to them. Teenagers, are hard. The way this world is this day and age, it's hard to say what they would tell you. But honestly, sit down with them quietly and talk to them. Don't discuss it over dinner table. Don't holler across the yard. You know, just sit down and calmly talk it over. That's the only thing I wish I had done.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
And again, you know, the expression hindsight is 20/20.
Right.
You know, I know some people say, gosh, I wish I hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is in their life, whether they drove their car on bad tires or they didn't pay their electric or whatever, you know.
Right.
There are people saying, gosh, I wish I'd
done
been
this.
More educated. I wish
yeah.
I'd thought differently at that time.
Right.
So I want to emphasize to any parents that are listening whose kids have been sexually assaulted and you're just now finding out about it, please understand that you can only give your kid from the knowledge that you have. Okay? My mom is kind of a jack of all trades. Mom knows how to, you know, change a tire. Mom knows how to make really good beef barbecue. Mom knows how to hang pictures straight. You know, when it comes to helping bunnies be born, my mom's a pro. You know, my mom knows a little bit of everything in all these different categories. And it's important to me that parents who are listening, who are just now finding out whether your kid was assaulted 2 weeks ago or 40 years ago, it is critically important to me that you, as a parent, understand that you cannot protect your children from things that you don't understand.
True. That's true.
Okay, and I used this before, if an alien spaceship falls into the middle of this building right now, you are limited on knowledge of how to deal with that.
Right. Right.
When someone sexually assaults your child, you can only handle it with the information that you have at that moment in time.
Very true.
And Stop Feeding the Predators wants to help parents know more so they can protect their kids better. Like that lady that said, you know, we trained for fire drills, we trained for tornado
mm-hmm.
drills.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that do not have fire extinguishers in their house, even though the fire department will tell you most fires can be put out quickly with a single fire extinguisher. I've done work with different organizations, and the fire department guys and I were talking, and they said they've gone to where a mattress was on fire. Now, that's a pretty big fire when your whole mattress is on fire.
Right.
They walked in with a fire extinguisher and completely extinguished the fire, and that was it, over and done. Now, if you think about it, from the time the fire started to the time they got there, at least 8 minutes, and let's you know, say that's the minimum time.
Right.
That's 8 minutes more of more damage. Firemen coming with a fire extinguisher, doing what you could have done faster if you'd had the knowledge. Sexual assault of children is the same way. The more you know what to do, what to look for, how to prevent it, how to help your child, the more education you have about sexual assault of children, the less likely it is to happen to your kid. If it does happen, your child is able to heal faster, better, more quickly. And you can do for your child what you want to do for your child in the grand scope of the world, which is to raise a healthy child. So if something happens and you weren't able to protect them with all your knowledge, you can still help your child to heal, and they can be okay. Because the faster the child's attended to, and I'm not just talking about the physical aspect, I'm talking about the emotional aspect. We did a show with Joe, and he pointed out, when there's a car crash, don't go chasing the drunk that hit my car. Tend to my needs. I'm bleeding. I'm hurting. Tend to me. Don't go chasing the person who caused this.
Right.
And again, I'm not meaning to offend anybody that drives drunk. I'm not meaning to offend people that are alcoholics. I'm just using it as an example. When you're hurting, you don't want people seeking revenge. It is not helpful to me as a child to have somebody leave me alone or leave me with someone to go beat up somebody else. That's not helpful to me. That actually damages me more.
Mm.
Because now I have more abandonment issues, because you left me when I was hurting the most, when I needed you the most.
And guilt.
And guilt, because that other person got hurt. And again, thinking like a child, you know, children know it's wrong to hit.
Right.
So if I just told my mom or dad something that made them hit somebody, I'm a horrible person because I just got that person hit.
Right.
And I've not yet heard a parent, you know, say that they wouldn't hurt somebody who touched their kid. You know, most parents, especially men.
Right.
Anybody ever touched my baby, she knows I'd kill him.
Right.
I said, well, you've pretty much guaranteed your baby will never tell you if anybody ever touches her.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Because that's they true. Don't want you to kill him. There's a gentleman on the internet right now, and he goes by the name of Snake, and I apologize. I believe his name is Scott, but I'm not 100% on that. But he goes by the name of Snake. He's on, you can probably Google Snake and sexual assault, and you'll get, he was sexually assaulted when he was a young man. And he got older, had a family. When his daughter was sexually assaulted, he went after that person. He ended up spending time in jail.
Hmm.
Now, the person who assaulted him never went to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And his daughter had to grow up without a dad because he was in jail.
Right.
So, when I found out that my husband had been sexually assaulting my kids, and people ask me, why didn't you kill him?
Right.
I told them, I love my children more than I hate him.
That's very good.
And that's the truth.
That's really good.
That's the truth. And, you know, for mentioning God earlier, you can say, you know, that's a God thing. No, that's a human being thing.
Yeah.
I love my kids so much that I would spend my time focusing on their healthy lives, their good lives, their healing, their safety.
Right.
Then spend my time away from them, jeopardizing my freedom.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Being in prison for killing the guy that did the kids wrong.
Yeah. You know, I love my kids more than I hate anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it comes down to. And so, Mom, when you're talking about listening to your kids,
right?
We have to be educated. We have to listen to our kids. And we have to love our kids more than we hate anyone.
Right.
I know a lot of people get caught up in politics and they'll, you know, bash the president or bash this political group or bash this or bash that. And I can't stand that kind of negativity. I'm like, you know what? Let's go out and save the dolphins.
Yeah.
Instead of putting our effort towards hating the government.
That's true.
because you can't make a difference hating the government. You got a vote and that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, you can make a difference saving dolphins, you know?
Sure.
So in this world, there's a lot of things to not like. But if we can learn to love more than we hate, that's, you know, people always talking about, oh, I want world peace. Okay, well then love somebody more than you hate something else.
Right.
You know? So, hopefully that's a positive enough thought to end the show on.
One more quick thing before she ties it up.
Yep.
I just want to tell Lynn that I appreciate her having me on and pretty much didn't take the show over, but I introduced my daughter and how I feel about her and her Stop Feeding the Predators. And I wish her well. I'm here for her every day, 24 hours a day.
See, I'm not doing it all by myself. You're here.
Yeah, but I'm a mom. I have to be here. But I just want to interject that and hope you all give her a call.
Thank you. And we talked a little bit about how Stop Feeding the Predators has made a difference since it's been started. And I think the biggest difference in my personal life is the relationship I have with my mom. When I first started Stop Feeding the Predators, Mom, you were not sure what I was doing.
No.
You really had no clue, and you weren't sure if you really even wanted to know what I was doing.
Yeah, true.
And when you came to a presentation that I gave,
mm-hmm.
and no one, my kids were there, a couple of my kids were there, so
right.
they knew who you were, but there were a lot of people in that room that didn't know who you were.
Right.
And after this horrific story I just told about how I was sexually assaulted as a child and growing up, you know, what I'd been through and all that, it meant so much to me that you did the unspeakable by standing up and saying, I'm her mom.
Yeah.
You know, that had to be the hardest thing you've ever done.
But what was so strange at that meeting that you had, there were people my age. And Lynn's admitted she, how old are you?
47.
Yeah, and I'm 68. But it was strange because there were people in my age group that thought, oh my gosh. But I think they kind of related to the fact that I didn't know what was going on and I didn't know what to do.
Right.
And they were in the same group. Now, whether they had any history of any child abuse in their family, I didn't know. We don't know. But I think it kind of brought it to light that, hey, here's a lady that's been around the block. She should have known or done something. Well, I didn't.
Right.
And it was just a matter of no education, not knowing how to talk to my daughter. So I thank her. I thank her. She is really bringing this out to a lot of people at all ages. Again, I'll turn it back over to Lynn.
Thank you. Well, I think that's the thing, though. Stop Feeding the Predators has made a difference by opening up conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've given my business card to anybody that I go with my gut on who gets a card or not. And I've given my business card to people and they say, oh, what is this? And I say, oh, it's a nonprofit organization for people that were sexually assaulted when they were children. And I've had people say, oh,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they'll say, tell me more. And I say, you know, I was raped when I was 3 and off and on throughout my childhood. And after 11 years of marriage to a summa cum laude college graduate, I found out he was raping my kids. So I have the child's perspective and the parent's perspective. Most of the people that I've given cards to have said, I'm really glad you're doing this. You know, sometimes I'll get an elaboration of what they've been through. Sometimes they won't. But I've never had anybody indicate something other than, wow, that's good that you're doing this.
Right.
And I was at the grocery store the other day, and there was a lady there with a lot of family members, all female, and I handed her a business card, and she was probably in her 60s. I handed her a business card, and I mm-hmm. said, our office is just across the parking lot, and I said, you know, whoever plays on the computer the most, have them look this up. And she gave me $10. I told her what Stop Feeding the Predators was, and she gave me $10. And I said, you really ought to research this before you give me money. You have to know what you're supporting.
Right.
And she said, based on what you've told me, that's enough.
Wow.
So I am going to thank everyone for listening, and I'm going to thank my mom for being here and for all of your input, and I absolutely am thrilled that you brought the phrase unspeakable to stop feeding the predators. I think that's a great phrase to help children, to help parents,
right,
to help everyone understand. Human trafficking, sure, it's all over the news, but sexual assault of children is still that unspeakable thing.
Right.
And we're looking to change that. You've been listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. Our phone number again is 614-403-4545. And I'd like to remind you that healing starts here.